It is Dukes and Bell, man. Hope you guys are having a good hump day. Looks like sunny out there today. I wash the car once a week. You know, I take pride in it. You know, I do the wheels. I mean, I do it all, man. And I put on two coats, and then I get on the highway today, and then somebody's, you know, again, it is what it is. Not everyone knows their car maybe isn't tip-top. But if you're spraying oil all over freaking 85, oh, man, I was a race car in the red today, man.
Oh, that's gotta be.
Yeah. And so then I'm like Felix friggin' Unger. So I'm downstairs in the here at Colony Square.
Wiping it off.
And I gotta get to McGuire's. You know, and it was a dude like, hey, and some guy recognized me. He goes, hey, Mike, you do my fenders too? Hearty freaking har. But anyway, that was my commute today. By the way, good times yesterday, as we said. It is really cool. If you haven't been to Midtown in a while, we got so many great restaurants. And last night over at Holman and Finch, there's just so many. Have you been to the new joint, by the way? Is it Spanish Tapas over here? That place looks tight.
Yeah,
have you tried it?
I have not. Tapas is a tough one for me.
What?
Because you got to have a lot.
We went back to the body shape and all that. Small plates are not for me, man.
Okay. Now, when the tapas thing started, it was – now, first time I ever heard of it was like late 80s. And I was in the city up in New York with my dad. And I took my father into a place in the Upper East Side. But he goes, what is this? I go, it's tapas. And my dad, you know, typical, you know, back then you could smoke in a restaurant. And he's, tapas, was that a Spanish word for I'm still hungry? What the hell? It was a big plates. But anyway, yeah. So, but
don't talk, I can relate.
No, but I mean, relate. Some of my favorite restaurants in town, Barcelona, Iberian Pig. I mean, to me, it's if you can do it right and then basically bring the kitchen, you know, and just bring everything. Have you ever heard that story? Hasselhoff, my buddy Jerry, was on a flight from L.A., and he's sitting there as an empty seat in first class. Who comes and sits next to him but Joe Frazier? I told the story, I think, about a week ago to Carl. And the flight attendant comes out, and she's like, you know, because they're first class, you get a meal. And she goes, well, we have chicken, we have this. And Joe Frazier says, bring the kitchen. And so that's our joke, is bring the kitchen. So you just, hey, order everything. If you got four people, just everybody gets to sample everything. What's wrong with that? How can you poop on that concept?
I don't need samples. I need full-size bites. I don't know.
All right, but you can get more. That's the thing with tapas. Bring me another plate
of
that.
As you get more, your wallet gets less.
All right, that's all right. The, all right,
you
know.
You got a game plan, Abe. You got a game plan. You got to know. All right, I'm going to take X amount in there so I can order X amount.
Right.
And chow down.
Thank you. Yeah, we're working on this guy. We'll get, you know, by the end of the week, I'll have you straightened out. Okay, we'll figure. I'm going to straighten you out right now. It's time for 4th and 1. Talks of NFL. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Cynthia Freeland, who does a great job on NFL Network. She's brilliant, man, talking about, you know, analytics and numbers and stuff that actually makes sense for me because, you know me, I'm not the biggest analytics guy. But she's got some great takes, and we'll ask her what she thinks about the Falcons. There was a time before the draft that I was definitely interested, Abe, in Trey Hendrickson, if he was going to be on the open market, if Cincinnati was going to shop him, because at age 30, he's in his prime. Knock wood for Bengals fans, he's never gotten hurt, save for maybe one game. But he's just upset because he can't get a long-term deal. The Bengals are just monkeying around with
him. Yeah, I don't think you're alone, by the way, with Falcons fans. I think the issue was always going to be, can you deal with it while still holding on to Cousins' salary? You couldn't move Cousins before this.
Right.
And so I was surprised that it's gotten to this point in regards to Trey Hendrickson, because you would think if it reached a breaking point and the franchise knew it was at a breaking point, he would have been moved during the draft the way we saw a couple other big names get moved. Now, we have seen some other names moved after the draft, right? But it's surprising it's gotten to this point. It felt like they needed to figure out a way to pull it all together. They gave T. Higgins a bunch of money along with Ja'Marr Chase, Burrow obviously up there as well. They're not winning without Trey Hendrickson.
No. Well, I said during the commercial, it's something like the Dolphins. I mean, they just put all the money in the wide receiver basket. And, you know, for a while, the Waddle contract has been mitigated by the way they have the language and the term, but now it's starting to hit. You know, and you've got two guys that are just gobbling up a big chunk of that cap. And, you know, still waiting to see what the, you know, Chase's deal is still, right?
He re-upped.
Yeah. So he's got that monster contract.
Yeah.
T. Higgins got his. So to me, it's like, and it's surprising because when you say the Browns, we're not talking Cleveland. It's the Brown family. Paul Brown started the Browns. He goes down to Cincinnati late 60s, starts the Browns. So it's the Brown family, notoriously cheap. And that's why they would always get a lot of, like, you know, damaged goods. They wait for, like, star players that had off-field issues to fall to them. And then you could argue that's kind of the reason why they never won anything, because they got a bunch of screw-ups. So now you look at the Browns and you say, okay, Trey Hendrickson is your slam dunk best player defensively. Shamar Stewart's already upset with his agent about how the Browns.
Yeah.
And everything's so slotted now, it should take nothing to get your first round picks.
You know who I feel worse for is like the. Wasn't there like an offensive guard last week who took a pay cut for the Bengals? And I was like, oh, maybe they can use this money to re-sign Trey Hendrickson. Now we're sitting here like, dude, you took a pay cut for nothing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, it's one thing if they're going to cut you and you want to, you know, stay there and you got a good life thing, you know, family, et cetera. Okay, move some of my money or take the cut. But in this case, it's just the Bengals being cheap. Here's Trey Hendrickson. And first things first, they're not even talking to him. And Harry basically just airs it out yesterday with Cincinnati media.
With the lack of communication post-draft, made it evidently clear for my party that I had to inform that this might not work out.
This dude has been... a producer. We talked about it, man. He's putting up sacks every year. He would lead the Falcons. I mean, hell, two of his seasons would have led the Falcons the last 5 years. Here's Hendrickson talking more about the fact that other teams, and there's certainly value, and they want him, but his own home team won't.
It stinks when the value somewhere else, because I was fortunate enough to have that trade request granted, it gave me the fortunate circumstance to see my value elsewhere. And I'm hoping it doesn't come to that.
It's gotten ugly, Mike. And I know a lot of players do this kind of for posture. And I'm not going to show up at workouts until I get a new deal. And we're seeing Elgton Jenkins of the Packers, the guards. He's doing that right now as well. This is one of the first times I believe a guy actually would sit out. Like, maybe you feel differently. Maybe you still think it is just posturing and a big game of chicken and who calls bluff and all that stuff. I actually do believe Trey when he's like, I'm not playing for this team without a new deal. And it's gotten so ugly, I don't know how he can come to a deal. I don't know how you can sit there and talk about how disappointed and how frustrated and all this, and then they give you money and it's all fine and dandy. It may not be all fine and dandy. They may just... They may have to just ultimately cut bait.
Yeah, this is a weird situation where you've seen guys, they can't now, the new CBA, hold out because you don't get that money back. It's basically, it's gone. And you always say, well, won't they get that in a new contract? No, they've actually now taken away that money. So holdouts basically accomplished nothing if you want to try to play chicken with the Bengals. We talked about the schedule release. Tonight it becomes official. We gave you the information on the Falcons. We know we're playing a couple of big national games. Talked about the Monday Night Football. We're going to be on Monday Night Football twice, Sunday Night Football twice, and a Thursday night game late in the season in Tampa Bay. So a night game down in Tampa, which would be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. But as far as the opening week, it's Tampa here at Mercedes-Benz. We got Miami here in week 8. That's what Abe and I have been able to kind of cobble together from what we've seen. Indy in Berlin.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, that's that game I talked about, week 15. Rams with potential NFC playoff ramifications, week 17. That's Monday Night Football. We know we're playing Minnesota and San Fran on the road. We just don't know when. Those are the Sunday night games.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I want to ask you about that opener there against the Buccaneers. Are you happy with that timing? Week 1 against the team you're viewed as is the biggest problem between you and the NFC South. Do you like that, or would you have rather seen it later in the season?
I mean, it's funny. I don't like when you're playing out of conference. But you're playing AFC teams in December when the division's on the line.
Sure.
That's when's always kind of screwing it up. Now, a few years ago, I don't know if the ratings never take a hit. It's the NFL. But they've kind of, in the last couple of years, jam-packed all your division games late in the season.
And you pretty much end every year with a division game, right? Now, we've got the two Bucs games on schedule. Week 18 for the Falcons, do you think that is Saints? Or do you think that is Panthers again?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we do see Tampa Bay, you said week 15, so that's relatively late in the season, 3 weeks left.
Well, but the last couple of years, they've ended the season
Carolina
with
Saints,
the division.
Right. We ended the season down, and I was down there in New Orleans 3 years ago when we, Jameis decides we're going to just run it up. But yeah, that was 2 years ago. Either way, I would imagine it would be the division rivals. Speaking of the division rivals, or I should say NFC rivals, Cowboys hosting the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. That dropped. We found that one out. That'll be cool. I mean, poor Chiefs. I mean, they were able to overcome it. But, man, it seems like they were playing, the three games in, 19 days? There's a lot of stuff going on in their life.
Yeah, and they're all over the place. They're in Brazil. They're on Christmas. They're on Thanksgiving. They're going to squeeze as much as they can out of the Chiefs. while they're still the Chiefs, if
well, I
dare
think,
say
I mean,
it.
Like, but, I mean, look, the Eagles just had a better defense. They just ate up that Chiefs offense, which they tried to, you know, fix some of the things that were busted on that offensive line. But Patrick Mahomes is still the special sauce, but you've got to be able to, you got to give him one Mississippi, two Mississippi before it's a jailbreak, you know, and then it's look out. And that's kind of what happened to them. What do you think about how Pickens plays in Dallas, by the way? Speaking of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
The thing about Pickens that's so fascinating is the physical tools are there. I think we see that. I think the fact that he can, maybe this is not the right term here, Mike, hide behind C.D. Lamb, just in terms of kind of defensive focus and pecking order, I think that's a good thing, that it's not all the offense is all about him, and he should know that. He's got to stay focused, though, and he's got – I don't always love cross sport comparisons. He got a little bit of that Draymond Green stuff going on in his own head.
Right.
Where it's a little too much about him, and it's a little bit, all right, you're letting all these other things take away from what you're doing on the field. If he can just rein that in.
Right.
But, Mike, if you can't rein that in under Tomlin, who can rein you in?
I always say a guy's got a PhD in handling screw-ups and just guys that are big egos and all the wide receiver knuckleheads that have gone through there. For what it's worth, now, Schottenheimer was such an uncompelling hire in Dallas.
Yeah.
He did say, look, we got to try to change some of the energy and the vibe. So he puts Dak – you may have already read this. He took Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, puts their lockers next to each other, just trying to change it up, sort of trade some of the, I guess, the polarization perhaps that's happening. Look, they're never going to win as long as Jerry Jones is still alive. It is what it is. But, to waste time with McCarthy, why you even had him coaching last year after that humiliating loss to Green Bay,
right?
And then the continuing mediocrity that he sticks with it as head coach, I don't get it. That's a Jerry problem. Hey man, NFL Blitz here, guys. It's brought to you by 4th and 1, our Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. One other nugget for you while we were just talking about the NFL, we just had a couple of guys hit us up saying, is there going to be a package with Delta? I haven't seen anything specific where the Falcons and Delta get together. I do know you can go online to the Falcons website. I asked a couple of dudes, haven't heard back yet from Falcons, because, you know, now Squidbilly, of course, he'll be on the charter. He may be over there all week. You know, Arch will just stuff him in his carry-on. He'll just go right over there and he'll be hanging out. But try to do like a 3 or 4 day weekend, however you're going to try to pull it. You know, for many of us, you know, you try to budget for these road trips. I just would love to see it for the history of it. That's the Olympic Stadium where Jesse Owens won Olympic gold. Think about that. And that's where we're going to be playing. It's pretty cool. Hey, man, we'll come back. We're going to talk some more NFL with Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Aben for Carl Pigskin next.